Welcome to the Hardball Times Audio, your weekly stop for baseball's biggest stories, past and present, with your hosts, Jen Mac-Ramos, Sarah Wexler, and Mary Craig. On this week's episode, we'll discuss the James Paxton trade, Christian Villanueva's contract sale to the Yomiuri Giants, and the Hall of Fame ballot. We'll also answer your Twitter questions and conclude, as always, with This Week in Baseball. We will not be discussing MLB's donation to Cindy Hyde-Smith, as our stances on such issues are very well known. However, we would like to say that we are both mad and disappointed. With that, let's dive into this week's episode. On Monday, the Yankees traded for Mariners starting pitcher James Paxton, heading to Seattle in exchange our lefty pitcher and former number one prospect for the New York Yankees, Justus Sheffield, outfielder Dom Thompson-Williams, and right-handed pitcher Eric Swanson. So what should the Yankees expect from Paxton?
Reasonably, I think that they should expect somewhere in the area of 150 innings of above-average production. He's never, or this past season was the only season in his career where he's exceeded 150 innings. So obviously health has been an issue for him, but when he is healthy, he's a very solid contributor to a rotation. Just looking at the Yankees depth chart, they already got him slotted in at number two in their rotation. So, you know, that kind of suggests that they're thinking of him to be a pretty instant upgrade. This is an area where the Yankees needed improvement. It was a good move for them in that regard. And again, even if Paxton can't stay healthy for the entirety of the season, having him to do or to provide, you know, in the area of 150 innings or something like that, and 150 quality innings at that, is something that is going to benefit the Yankees immensely. And it shows that they're serious about, you know, trying to make another run next season. They're all in. Addressing their most pressing needs, this is a good move for the Yankees because it's as much of an issue as they had as any last season.
Yeah, he hasn't pitched too much in the AL East because obviously the teams don't play each other that frequently. He's pitched the most at Rogers Center. We know how his previous start went for him there quite well. There's a lot of questions about how he'll fare in these ballparks, how he'll fare against the slightly higher octane offensive teams in the AL East. It's always a bit of a slog for pitchers in this division. But being a lefty, being somebody who has a below average fly ball rate, I don't think that it will be that much of a jump for him to go to Yankee Stadium. Of course, we'll just have to kind of see what he can do at the beginning of the season, because it's always a bit of a question mark when you get these transitions from these kind of big name pitchers to go to the AL East. You're never really sure if they'll be able to keep up their production.
Mary, how do you feel as a Canadian Red Sox fan about Paxton going to the Yankees?
Listen, I'm not thrilled about it for a number of reasons. It will hurt me a little bit every time he pitches against the Red Sox. But, you know, it is what it is. I guess I can't be too upset at the goings-on of baseball, considering how this past season went for my chosen team. we'll see how it goes.
I think that it was a good trade for the Yankees. I don't think that the Yankees should expect like a lot of like over 200 innings, like you said, Sarah. I think that the Yankees also shouldn't expect like ace material out of Paxton. If anything, I'm a little surprised that he's like number two in their depth chart for the rotation. Just thinking about where the Mariners are in their current whole team situation and knowing that the Yankees were at least, you know, good enough to make it into the postseason this year, I don't know if Paxton is necessarily like true top of the rotation caliber pitcher, but he can provide a lot of innings, and for a team that needs a lot of help in the starting pitching area, it's sorely needed. I just don't know if Paxton is that number two guy. I think that the Yankees still need to continue looking for someone who will fit that role. I think that their starting pitching woes aren't over yet and that they still need to work on it, but it is a step in the right direction for them.
I mean, as of now, Sonny Gray is still technically in the rotation, and there's clearly room for improvement there. And if that's still the case at the end of the offseason, I'm going to be very surprised.
Yeah,
they clearly have some more moves that they definitely have to make to improve their starting pitching roster.
absolutely. Good thing for them, it's still technically November. So was this a
Technically.
technically so was this a good deal for the Mariners?
Depends on how high you are on Justice Sheffield, I guess. Because obviously that's the big name in this. He was the Yankees' number one prospect, and now he's the Mariners' number one prospect. Obviously one prospect alone isn't going to completely rebuild a farm system. But given the state of the Mariners' farm system, it's good for them that they, have kind of this top line talent in there now. Swanson is now number nine in their system, and Thompson Williams is now number 14. So, this obviously provides a pretty immediate boost. For a team that is clearly not expecting to be competitive for the next couple seasons, I keep hearing 2021 is a more the start of their window now. It's, if that's what they're settling on, given how good the Astros are and how much the A's have come up, and just how the AL West is looking for the next couple years, if they've basically conceded the next two seasons already, then yeah, it's a pretty good move. But again, kind of depends on what you expect from the prospects in the trade, and particularly Sheffield.
I think one of the general, I think, consensus kind of high ceiling for Sheffield is a Paxton-esque pitcher. So if he turns out to be that kind of pitcher, then they essentially got Paxton minus 8 years because Sheffield is only 22. There was a lot of injury concern for Sheffield in the past years. This past season, he did very well, and he managed to stay healthy for the entire season. So if he can kind of stay away from the injury bug, and I don't think there's anything to suggest in his injuries that they're anything that might be particularly long lasting. I think it was just kind of a mix of a few different things, a couple of oblique injuries. So I think that if he can stay healthy, and if he can work on his walk rate and kind of lower that and get a little bit more command over all three of his pitches, he should be a pretty good acquisition for Seattle, and he could contribute fairly soon to the major league roster.
I think it was both surprising and a good move for the Mariners, because for me, I didn't realize that they were just going to go on a full rebuild of some of sorts, because they were pretty well into contention this year for the AL West, and then the Astros and the A's decided to do their things. But it was surprising that they actually decided to just trade guys away and not try to go for it. That being said, it was a good move for the Mariners because it does bolster their kind of depleted, well, actually absolutely depleted system a little bit. And while there is no such thing as a pitching prospect, because who knows what will happen with pitching prospects as they come up through the organization, as it is right now, Justice Sheffield isn't going to be like the end all be all pitching prospect that will help the Mariners completely like rebuild their system into some kind of perfect thing. It's a step in the right direction for them. And I think if they figure out what else they need to do and if Jerry DePoto can actually be competent for the most part, this will work out for them in the long run.
The Paxton deal is certainly the biggest news of Hot Stove season so far. I don't think that's a surprise. But there was another move this week that was surprising and somewhat baffling. The Padres sold the contract of third baseman Christian Villanueva to the Yomiuri Giants of Japan. This is far from the first time a team has done this sort of thing. However, it got more attention this time around because Villanueva was a starting major league player, even if his numbers did fall off pretty drastically after the first couple of months of the season. According to AJ Casavell of MLB.com, quote, "The Japanese club approached the Padres with the possibility of working out a deal to acquire Villanueva. The Padres negotiated with Yomiuri on a fee that would release his contract. Villanueva, meanwhile, negotiated his own contract separately with the club. Eventually, all parties came to an agreement." So why did the Padres make this move?
It's interesting. I wonder if it's a move that they make if they're not initially approached by the Yomiuri Giants. It seems like they probably could have found a suitor for Villanueva in MLB if they'd put some effort into it, but they were offered another option. And I guess the fact that Villanueva was able to have some say in this and it wasn't just entirely the Padres being like, okay, we're doing this. You have no choice in the matter. You're going to a foreign country. Goodbye. I guess that's good. It's sort of unusual. It's not, you don't usually hear about things going this way. Foreign league teams having a strong interest in a player and being able to work out deal with an MLB team to have them come over.
Yeah, it was just very like it seemed very Padres in a way, in that it's so bizarre and unusual, and you wonder what kind of devil magic AJ Preller was behind it. That being said, I think the Padres are still like very, very far away from their contention window. I think they said like at least the early 2020s for them. So I'm not completely surprised that this move happened. I'm just surprised how it happened. But again, this is the team that pulled off that Kimbrel trade, so I don't know what I can exactly say about the Padres that doesn't equate to what the hell AJ Preller. I just think that I like the fact that Villanueva was able to also have a say in it and not just like, oh, hey, here's Major League Baseball selling your contract to a Japanese baseball team. Goodbye forever. I like that there was at least some autonomy there. And knowing how baseball works, that's almost rare that like players are able to do that. So good job on them for letting him actually be a part of the negotiation.
Yeah, and especially given that, he was a rookie last year. It's not like he's a player who's been established for a long time and, has like no trade clauses in his contract and such. Obviously it's kind of different sending a player to Japan as opposed to sending them to, Pittsburgh or whatever. But it's nonetheless, it seems kind of unusual for a player of a Villanueva stature to play that role in his own negotiations like that.
Yeah, it really kind of makes me wonder about the terms of the agreement and the fee that was agreed to. And I think it also speaks to San Diego's kind of deep dissatisfaction with their options for third base in the upcoming season. I think they're definitely going to need to find some sort of trade target or free agent to play third base for them because, especially with this move, it's not looking great. They have a few candidates. I think top of the list is Will Myers, and I think all signs point to them kind of looking elsewhere to fill that hole that they have now created. And as both of you said, it's good that Villanueva had some say in this. Hopefully, if we see more of these types of things, the players will continue to have the amount of say that it seems like Villanueva had in this, and it won't just kind of be a deal worked out between the two teams without, you know, player input and you know, ultimately full player approval.
Okay, well, the 2019 Baseball Hall of Fame ballot was released this week, and there are 20 new players on this year's ballot, with the bigger names including Mariano Rivera, Roy Halladay, Todd Helton, Andy Pettitte, Lance Berkman, and Roy Oswalt. Of this group, do we think any will make it in as a first balloter?
I think it's a pretty safe bet that Mariano Rivera will get in. His case, especially certainly in the category of reliever, is kind of far and away better than any other reliever that we have seen enter the Hall of Fame to this point. And I don't think there are too many arguments that would keep him out.
Yeah, I think both Mariano Rivera and Roy Halladay are probably first ballot Hall of Famers. Halladay was, you know, exceptional as a starting pitcher. And I think, you know, just knowing that the response that that was received in the tragedy of his death, you know, everyone is saying he is absolutely a first ballot Hall of Famer. If you look at the stats, he has everything. I think, you know, especially since his passing is still fairly recent, I think a lot of voters are going to have that in mind and also remember how great of a career he had. And Mariano Rivera is Mariano freaking Rivera. Like, he's absolutely going to get in. And I think that if he doesn't make it in on the first ballot, there's probably going to be pitchforks going from Yankee Stadium to Cooperstown. So,
yeah, and that would be fairly reasonable. yeah, it's like I said, Mariano freaking Rivera. He's as good a reliever as we've basically ever seen. And, you know, if he doesn't get in on the first ballot, then he'll get in eventually. But it seems pretty obvious that he deserves to get in, so they might as well just go ahead and vote him in now. I also think Roy Halladay is going to make it in. Think he would have made it in eventually anyway. But as Jen said, given the circumstances around what the unfortunate end of his time with us, I think that voters do take that sort of thing into consideration. And I think it would be a pretty fitting tribute to his career and the person that he was to put him in on the first ballot. On the flip side of things, for two players, it's their 10th year on the ballot and their last chance to get voted into the Hall. That's Fred McGriff and Edgar Martinez. Do we think either will make the cut?
I could see Edgar Martinez making the cut. He's jumped up quite a bit in the previous 2 years. He fell, roughly 4.5% short last year, which equates to, I think, around 20 ballots. So I could see people saying, okay, this is his last year. I'm now going to give up a spot to him. I think there should be at least one extra, even if you count for Mariano Rivera and Roy Halladay getting in. So I could see him making it in.
I hope he makes it in. Edgar Martinez is certainly deserving of being in the Hall of Fame. I'm just not 100% certain that he would, just knowing that the BBWAA is still full of old curmudgeons. That being said, he absolutely deserves it, but I think I'm going to wait and see if he actually makes it in. Same with Fred McGriff.
Yeah, I think it's a pretty safe bet that McGriff's not going to make it in. He's climbed in his voting percentage over the past few years, but he's still only he was at 23.2% last year, and that's, you're not going to jump, you know, 50% in a year. That's just not going to happen. But Edgar was at 70.4%, so he's very much in range. I think he makes it in. And also, I just want to say, it is amazing how, like, Edgar's Jaws numbers line up with the average Hall of Fame third baseman. The average career WAR for a Hall of Fame third baseman is 68.4. He had exactly 68.4 career WAR. Average 7-year peak is 43. He had 43.6. And average Jaws is 55.7. He had 56. So, like, he's basically a prototypical third base Hall of Famer. And if he doesn't get in on that alone, what are voters even doing? Not looking at Jaws, probably, but.
Well, clearly, like, if Mariano Rivera doesn't make it in, there's going to be pitchforks coming from the Bronx. But with Edgar Martinez, like, there's a very high chance that it's going to be pitchforks and more possibly coming from Seattle.
The poor Midwest, they're just gonna get flooded with pitchforks.
Well, at least the Bronx, like, the people from the Bronx don't have to go through the Midwest. They just go up to Cooperstown.
Yeah, but they'll put a little extra oomph on them. I don't trust them with their pitchforks.
Have you ever actually trusted a Yankees fan, Mary?
Not many, I'll say. If you're listening to this and you're a Yankees fan, I'm not saying that I don't trust you. Gotta placate our listeners. But anyway, I think I would make a great diplomat. Yeah, so I think we're saying no on Fred McGriff and kind of a tentative but hopeful yes on Edgar Martinez. As I said last year, and as I've kind of said in recent years, I so badly want him to get in, not just because he deserves it, but because I don't want to have to go through this all over again when Ortiz comes up on the ballot. Like, I can't do that.
Yeah, that would be very, very disappointing if Ortiz goes through the same thing as Martinez. And with that, Twitter questions. So this first one is from Jack at JFordBear. You're writing Space Jam Baseball. Who is Michael Jordan and which nine are getting their talent stolen?
Okay, so the obvious answer is Mike Trout, right? As Michael Jordan.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I was deciding between him and Mookie Betts, but I think Mike Trout is.
Michael's secret stuff.
Yeah, he's got that going for him. I can see some people being like, oh, well, you know, he's not interesting enough. He's not charismatic enough or whatever. We need someone more interesting. So, I mean, I guess in that regard, you can make an argument for someone like Mookie. You can make an argument for, you know, Bryce Harper, I guess, just someone with a really dynamic personality. Shohei Ohtani is a possibility, you know, given that he's a pitcher and a hitter and he's got to teach the people to play baseball, and he's going to be able to teach them both. Or I guess the Looney Tunes in this case. He's teaching the Looney Tunes how to hit and how to pitch. So that's something that he is very unique in his ability to offer. So that's another possibility, I think.
Yeah, it's hard because there's not like a one-to-one comparison between the sports in terms of Michael Jordan can teach people to do whatever area of basketball, whereas you don't really have that aside from Ohtani. But Ohtani, I don't think, has the same superstar status as Michael Jordan at this time, just because Ohtani's so new.
Yeah. Maybe what can happen with him is, like, instead of, you know, leaving basketball to go play baseball, he has to have Tommy John, and that's his thing he's gotta get over. As for who's getting their talent stolen, so I guess we need someone for every position. And I mean, I guess the best way to go about this is who's the best at each position right now. So pitcher is an interesting one. Who do you go with at this point? Is it Scherzer? Is it DeGrom?
I think probably Scherzer, just because of, like, the career he's had and how he's always had, like, an upward trajectory. Whereas DeGrom, yes, he's had a pretty good career so far, but he's still, like, climbing up. So I think, like, Scherzer being the more established one will probably get his talent stolen as, like, the pitcher for that team.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
I'm thinking for second base, I want to see it, Javi Baez, just because he's fun. I want him in there.
I think Nolan Arenado probably for third base.
Definitely.
There's no question that he's
Yeah.
probably the best defensive third baseman there is, and he's not too shabby a hitter. So he's probably gonna get his talent stolen. And I realize now we're mostly going toward the NL.
Yeah,
Yeah, I
I'd
was starting to
say,
think of oh, go ahead, Mary.
yeah, so shortstop, let's give that to Lindor.
Yeah, that's a
Oh
good
yeah.
pick.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, first base. Is that Goldschmidt?
Yeah, let's go. It'd be Goldschmidt or Votto, I would think.
Yeah, and I'll give Goldschmidt the advantage because he's a bit younger.
Yeah.
And then for outfield, well, if we're going with Trout, then I think that opens up a Mookie for that.
Yeah, I
Yeah.
was thinking Mookie for the outfield.
Yeah, and then Harper. Puig.
Puig would be interesting just to see his reaction of getting his talent stolen in Space Jam baseball.
Yeah, I think that's. Oh, we need a catcher. That's the other thing we
Yeah,
need.
catcher.
Yeah.
JT Realmuto.
There we go.
We go. There we go.
I mean, everyone's talking about him as the best catcher in baseball these days, so, which says a lot,
It would be amusing if they go with one of the best framing catchers and they throw out a very random name of a guy who cannot hit but is really good at framing, like Jeff Mathis.
Yeah, it's like you have all these all-stars and then Jeff Mathis.
Yeah, I'd say that's a pretty good lineup.
Yeah, but the real question is who's going to be in the Bill Murray role? Let's see, is Mike Trout friends with any celebrities?
I was just gonna say Mary Hart, maybe? Does that work?
LA adjacent, yeah.
Yeah, that works. I mean, she's a Dodger fan, but I think she'd be along for this ride.
I mean, the alternate would be one of Mike Trout's favorite weather people, favorite meteorologist. And I don't know if that would be big a draw or would fit in the Bill Murray role, but I mean, it's either a meteorologist or a Eagles player, so.
Yeah, that's true.
Sure, let's just have Zach
Yeah.
Ertz be in the Bill Murray role.
This is going to be a very different kind of movie, I think. I'd
Yeah.
still
I'm
watch it, but
would be
yeah, I don't know
very.
if I have the staying power as Space Jam Basketball Edition.
But will its website be as good? That's the real question.
No website will ever be as good as Space Jam's.
Yes.
Space Jam is a website?
Oh my
Oh
God.
my God. Mary, oh my God.
It's literally been left intact since 1996 or whatever. It's amazing. It's like a relic of the old internet. It just everything about it is it's art. And
I want
I'm
it.
so happy it's been preserved.
I agree. There is no Space Jam news at the moment, is what it's telling me.
Even though they're supposedly
It's
remaking it with LeBron.
yeah.
I just hope that if they do remake it, they leave that website as it is, because it should be if there were national historic landmarks given to websites, it should be given to that.
Yes, it is a true it's like going to it is how I imagine like archaeologists must feel like or rather like in the future I feel like people are going to go to this website and it's going to have the same effect as finding some big treasure on an archaeological dig. It's like wow, this tells us so much about civilization at the time that this was created.
Oh, the future is going to be sorely disappointed in us.
I'm trying to send you postcards from it, but it's not letting me.
No.
So we'll need to make sure that the components of the website work as intended. But otherwise, it's one of the most 90s things that I've ever seen in my life.
It's incredible that way.
Well, let's move on to our weekly question from a depressed Dodgers fan. This is Olivia at Olivia 8K. What will the Dodgers 2019 season be like? And will it break my heart again?
Almost definitely.
That sounds about right, yeah.
Yeah, even if they could win it all and it will still in some way drain the life out of you, because that's just how baseball is. I think, it's going to be another strong season for them. I think, we're still not going to have they're still not going to have a huge challenge in the NL West. Like, I think the Rockies have proven that they're a legitimate contender now, but I think the Dodgers are still the better team given the state that they're in. You know, most of the major changes have come from the front office and the coaching personnel as opposed to the team itself. So they, in that regard, they should be in okay shape for next year. But, you know, that, of course, that, again, that there's going to be some concern, I guess, in the immediate over what happens with the GM role and such. But overall, that's more of a concern for later seasons, I think. But, you know, even with them being a good team again, even with them, you know, probably winning the West again, that doesn't mean that the postseason isn't going to be horrible to get through again, because that just seems to be the pattern these days. I wish I could be more optimistic than that, but I think losing the World Series 2 years in a row kind of does something to a fan's sense of optimism.
Yeah, I mean, the offseason really has not thus far been one to instill much confidence in Dodgers fans. Of course, that they still have a great team set up, but as we have seen before, that doesn't necessarily mean winning the World Series, and it doesn't necessarily mean future success. So it's not looking great, but you do really never know what can happen.
Yeah. I mean, the Rockies definitely have the potential to make it far next year, especially now that, you know, they've made it in one way or another 2 years in a row, even though they lost in the wild card game in 2017. They showed this year that they have a good start. That being said, I don't think they're just quite there yet, but I know that they're going to put up a big fight to win the NL West, so I don't think it'll be as easy for the Dodgers, but I think the Dodgers are still going to win the title for the NL West. Is just how they do it, and I wouldn't be surprised if it's yet another 163, because that's just how baseball works now. But I think that knowing that the team is still pretty much intact from this past season, they'll make it far. Whether or not they'll actually make it to the World Series and come out victorious, we'll see.
Yeah, you got those three behemoths in the American League now, with the Red Sox, Yankees, and Astros, and that's going to be really hard to get past if you do make it all the way to the World Series. So, yeah, even if you're the tops of the NL, it's like the AL right now is just frightening.
I mean, well, hey, they've already lost to the Astros. They've lost to the Red Sox. Now they just got to face the Yankees.
Okay.
Don't say that.
Okay. All right. Let's move on, because I don't think I can take much more of this. All right.
I didn't say whether or not they would lose.
That's true. You didn't, but it was implied. Okay, we have another question from Jack. He wants us to know, we've paid a skywriter, apparently, to write one sentence over the 2019 MLB All-Star Game. What do we have written?
Oh. I would say, so it's in Cleveland, right? So maybe something like, you're still racist, or like something along the lines of, getting rid of Chief Wahoo like does not solve the problem, but obviously more pithy than that, because yeah.
Like, now change the team's name.
Yeah,
that's good.
Yeah,
well, like,
you
that.
Just go like a generalized, like, pay minor leaguers, or like nationalize baseball, or something like that, just to kind of get that in photos over a major league stadium would be amazing.
Why am I not surprised?
That was, well, what the are, most merry answer I could have hoped yeah. for.
What's your answer then?
Well, being the person that I am, my first thought was, what if someone had the words, my wife left me, because I am too online? Which is also a very me answer, so.
Yeah, I'm like debating, it's like, okay, do I want to send like a serious message, or do I just want to like put a meme in the sky? But
I
I don't
mean,
know. The memes these days, I feel like I would need to go with the classic meme because I feel like the memes these days have been lacking, you know?
However, it would be incredible if a skywriter could draw the screaming cowboy.
The what?
The screaming cowboy in the sky.
I think this is something that pa oh, I know what that is. Yeah, okay.
The music
Had to Google
video.
it. But yes, I know what you're talking about now.
But I feel like that would be best saved for the Rockies.
Yeah, that would be pretty
True.
fitting.
Very true. So we'll save that for another year.
We're gonna rack up, quite the bill for these Skywriters.
I think I would want to use mine to promote something that's important to me. I don't know. I feel like I want to like spread the word of like something that, like, I don't know. I want to like tell people to like watch The Good Place or something.
Ooh.
Like, you know, I want to be like, I want to do something that's going to spread goodness in the world and it's going to spread joy in the world. And I feel like advocating for, you know, people watching The Good Place or, you know, something else that I really stand by, like, oh, go watch John Mulaney's specials on Netflix or something. I think that's, you know, it's like you can only change so much by putting a political message out there. Like, you know, the powers that be are only going to listen so much. But the least you can do is like bring a little joy into people's life. I mean, like, yeah, just go watch The Comeback Kid on Netflix and you'll feel better about everything for a bit.
Yeah, I mean, maybe if we wanted to like combine the two, we could write like this is the bad place or something.
That's good, yeah.
Yeah,
Then
I was
people will have
thinking.
to, yeah, because it's like you, if you put like something cryptic, then people are going to look it up and it's going to get them more invested as opposed to just seeing like something that they just, you know, like, oh, okay, watch The Good Place. That's an ad.
Yeah, because I was thinking like putting, this is the bad place would fit considering, Cleveland's team name and everything.
Yeah.
So,
And that it's Cleveland. Exactly.
yeah,
No offense, Cleveland.
mistake by the lake.
Although that is a spoiler, so sorry for anyone listening to this who hasn't watched season one of The Good Place.
Mean, really, it's your fault. Like, we
Yeah.
gave you plenty of opportunity. It's on
Yeah.
Netflix. What were you waiting for?
Yeah.
And the
No,
new
we.
episodes are on Hulu.
Yeah, exactly. There's no excuse.
And finally, from Hannah Godet, where is Bryce Harper going? That isn't the Yankees.
The Red Sox. No, it's definitely not gonna happen.
I mean, what's also probably not going to happen, but that would be so fun if it did happen, is if he went to the Angels, because then you would have Mike Trout and Bryce Harper in the same outfield. You know, that adding Bryce Harper is not going to fix the Angels' problems. And they probably need to be devoting their resources elsewhere to a kind of more substantive changes. But it is such a fun thing to imagine, and you know, to think like next year having both of them and Ohtani playing on the same team, that's the sort of thing that people dream about. I mean, but yeah, a more realistic answer is probably the Phillies. You know, they have the need, they have the money. It's hard to imagine them not landing either Harper or Machado, so. I'm putting them out there. I'm saying the Phillies.
Yeah, I was thinking Phillies too. I just think that they are in like the right place at the right time with the right resources. So, yeah, I think they're gonna go for that. I think it's gonna be the Phillies. I hope it's the Phillies. They have a young, fun team, and I want to see more of that. That being said, Harper to the Angels would also be fun. It would be a disaster long term for the Angels, but it would be fun nonetheless. But also, it would be like, it's like 162 games of an all-star game, basically. Because, like, you have the roster that includes Mike Trout, Shohei Ohtani, and Bryce Harper. That's already the makings of an all-star roster. If, only the Angels could match the rest of their roster that way.
Poor Justin Upton in left field, though. Like, he would just get so overlooked.
So now, this week in baseball history. Mary?
On November 26, 1961, in an unsurprising move, the Professional Baseball Rules Committee votes against legalizing the spitball.
On November 27th, 1975, Yankees owner George Steinbrenner is banned from baseball for 2 years after being convicted of making illegal campaign contributions to, among others, one Richard Nixon.
One of my favorite things.
Steinbrenner.
November 26th, 1975. Fred Lynn of the Red Sox becomes the first player ever to win both the Rookie of the Year Award and the MVP. And if we remember from last week, Ichiro Suzuki was the second player and has been the only player since to win both the Rookie of the Year and the MVP. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Hardball Times audio. You can find the Hardball Times at fangraphs.com/THT and on Twitter at @hardball_times. I can be found on Twitter at @JenMacRamos. You can find Sarah at @SarahWexler32. You can find Mary @MaryMCraig. And you can find the podcast on Twitter @THTAudio. Thanks to our theme music from bensound.com. You can find all the episodes of the Hardball Times audio on iTunes. Please rate and subscribe. Be sure to tune in next week for another episode.